and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts again, Salsa.
Matt?
That's Jenna. I'm Megan.
I like it.
And we need drinks.
And I'm Jenna.
There you go. Jesus, what are we drinking, Salsa?
So it's fucking hot outside.
Yeah, it is.
And
you'll note I'm wearing my sleeveless number.
Yes, dear listeners, please note he is wearing his sleeveless number.
I am exercising my right to bear arms.
Oh, God. That is such a
stole
dad joke.
Stole a joke from Scully.
That is a dad joke.
We'll get the dad jokes later.
Oh, but. Jesus Christ. Anyway, so today's cocktail is, it's got Gatorade in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
yeah,
Gatorade has electrolytes.
Hey, what, I'm a Powerade person.
What color is that Gatorade, Salsa?
So we need electrolytes because they're what plants crave.
Brondo.
That's actually well played.
I was like, you piece of shit, you're dodging the question. Nope, you're okay, fine. I will accept your reference.
So we have put in, along with this Gatorade, for this one, we are using Arctic Blitz.
Which is what color, Salsa?
So I decided to use the most douchiest names I could think of.
Douchiest?
Well, no. You know how Gatorade has, like, grape and fruit punch and strawberry kiwi?
And
I was just like, no. I'm going with Arctic Blitz and Riptide Rush. Because those are the names of Gatorades that douchey people drink.
I was... I avoided saying I actually really like the purple one, which is Riptide Rush. And then I shot that in the foot.
Then you absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
Well done.
Yep.
Well done. But into it, we have added an ounce of vodka and an ounce of tequila.
Oh.
And it is called, online, I shit you not, Get This Shit Done.
Oh.
I quite like that.
Yeah, I mean that's what they want to call it. That's
all right.
No, sorry. Get this shit going.
Okay.
Okay.
Who are we to argue with the internet?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, get this shit going.
Get this shit going.
Slancha.
It's a launcher.
Mistake.
That barely tastes like booze at all.
You mean it tastes like tequila?
It tastes like.
Tastes like tequila.
I'm tasting Gatorade.
Wow.
Huh.
Maybe you didn't actually get any booze. Sounds like it worked.
Shh, ixnay on the awking tay.
Yeah, I guess there's a hint of tequila in there.
No, I'm...
Oh, I'm saying I can see how this would get shit done.
Going.
Oh, that could be very easily just piled down someone's throat.
It tastes like a gummy bear soaked in tequila.
Mine tastes more tequila-y than yours, but yours does have. Yeah.
Speaking of gummy bears, went and had dinner with Wawen.
Oh,
because we rarely get a chance.
She's awesome.
Because she's the best. Yeah, Wawen, the youngest vilifier.
Yes.
Cousin to Anna Levine. We rarely get a chance to hang out outside of Fest because she works a lot and I'm me. So we went and had dinner a couple nights ago.
And she has a life.
And I was like, oh, God, I was so hungry. Like, I was going to maybe have lunch after work before we came out, but I was like, oh, I don't want to eat too much because we're going to go have Chinese food. And then I was like, maybe just a snack. And then I opened my fridge and saw that I had a half full jar of French onion dip, a half full thing of hummus of indeterminate age, and a bag of gummy bears.
In your fridge?
Yep.
So also, most of those were mine, just so you know.
All three of those
were.
Gummy bears in the
they
fridge?
They were left in her car for like 2 days.
Oh, you were reconstituted.
They're a gummy...
Gotcha. It's
kind of a gummy orgy at this point. Yeah. Everything's just unfortunate.
Mecha bear.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's really
gummy
all I
had. Voltron bear.
And to her credit, you know, adorable woman goes, we'll just dump some vodka on those. It's like,
oh my God.
One, I admire your moxie, kid. Two, that doesn't make a meal. Three, gonna do it anyway. Four, those are Megan's I should ask first. I'm like, I think I only have
five could totally be a meal.
Yeah. And I was like, plus, I think I only have gin, and that would be weird. Because, so, gummy bears and gin? Anybody?
Mm.
I'm not interested in really even trying
Christmas
that.
Trees and gummy. No.
Yeah.
And I love gin. You love gin too.
I love
too.
Gin,
obviously.
You know,
it's Hendrix.
Dear listeners,
which is too good of a gin to waste.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's, dear listeners,
it's top notch.
Test it. Let us know.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Maybe that should be a new feature. AON Space Monkey. When we come up with an idea, you, the listener, tries it. Maybe I can get Chip to do some artwork, and we can
space monkey dance
for. We can have some kind of emblem or badge you can use as like your Steam game profile or your Facebook icon or something like that. Like, I'll talk to Chip and see if he's willing to make some kind of AON space monkey image, because that would be pretty dope. And so when we come up with a stupid idea,
so what do you have to do to earn yours?
Exactly. And like, you know, send us an email with some pictures, or send, you know, post a video to YouTube doing whatever stupid idea we had. And if you do, and if Chip doesn't want to do it, we'll find another way to somehow reward you with a thing like that. But well, I like this idea.
Badge. It won't be as awesome as Chip's, but I can make it.
Right. That's the thing. So we can come up with something. Right. But I like this idea. So,
also, if Chip makes the space monkey badge, he gets a space monkey badge.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
For doing the stupid thing that we thought of,
which was listening to us in the first place. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. So there you go. All right. So
No. Listening to us in the first place can't be a criteria, because everybody would get one by default.
Well, I mean, to the point of physically going about something.
Yeah.
You know.
So I feel at this point, Charles.
Yeah, the podcast is not enough.
But
I think at this point Charles Knutson also gets one.
He gets one. I feel like Katie Breckenridge gets one.
Oh yeah,
There's a couple other folks, you know, Justin Evan,
Torn.
Torn. There's a few folks that could probably be grandfathered in.
Yeah,
but it'll be you know,
Mud.
Nothing in Mud for sure. Yeah, for sure. But
does Sean get one?
Sean Pietre?
I don't know. What have you done for us lately, Sean?
Right?
Continued to be amazing. Do you guys not talk to him regularly? I do. It's dope.
But what have you done for me lately?
I see what you did there. So anyway, I think, okay. So this will be the first official gauntlet thrown for the AON Space Monkey program, which is make yourself some gin gummy bears, report your findings.
Does it have to be gummy bears? Can it be other gummies?
Okay, I'm gonna,
I feel like more, like there could be more appropriate gummies for.
I feel
gin.
As long as you have proper documentation.
Gin, Swedish fish?
See, like that?
No.
I was going sour.
Oh. No. See, here's the thing. I was going to say, I'm willing to compromise shape, but not flavor. It should be the relatively
as long
fruity,
as you have
bland, like Haribo Gold Bear type thing. So you could do the octopus like we used for that drink long ago.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do like Sour Patch Kids or Swedish Fish,
then I expect
like that,
a grid.
That's exactly. That's a different thing. That's we need a control group.
Right. The control group can be the gummy bears. But what if they went above and beyond and did like the gummy sharks, which are like blue raspberry?
Okay, so then it's an AON space monkey cosmonaut. Which I'm not actually going to create, because that's
space
dumb.
Monkey Sharknado? Sharknado.
I know, it's stuck in my head now.
God, that song is so...
I hate you, Dredd.
I angered
that fourth
me.
One just came out, so you know I'll be reviewing that soon.
I think that was the People's Band, wasn't it?
That might have originally been a Citizens Band song.
Citizens
Band. It might have been. I can't remember if that was Dregs or Citizens Band.
That one was originally Citizens Band, and then...
From a live show, or was it from something else?
From
Big Fun Radio.
Big
Contest.
Fun.
Oh, Big Fun. You're right. Yep. Yes. So at any rate, okay. So first AON Space Monkey Challenge.
Gin gummy bears.
Gin gummy bears. So again, but you have to prove you did it. You can't just say I did it and they were awesome, or I did it and they sucked. Mm-hmm. We need
some pictures
documenting your process, or a short video,
possibly a testimonial.
A testimonial would be good.
Don't use good gin either, because
no.
Make
that's
everyone
open to
real.
That's
all
that's
on them.
Really? That is good life advice.
Yeah.
However, that I'm going to let that be up to them.
That's
like if they want to start going with tequila or other stuff again, that's still on them. They
but
still
the official
need the base.
Assignment.
Yep.
Yes. You know, this is good. I like this. I like where this is going. This is where
extra credit gets you nothing else. But
yeah, outsourcing our stupidity seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
So that said,
yes.
Well, that shit just happened.
What the fuck are we doing again?
I don't even know
what's going on.
All right. Send your submissions to feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Yeah.
I should get that working then, huh?
Yep. And the other thing to do, which I would actually suggest might be even better, is
post
them to the Facebook, because that way people can see them
as
they come in.
Yeah.
And people can comment, and that way you can see, like, I thought that was kind of funny. Oh, someone did it. That doesn't look as cool as the way I would do it. Well, challenge accepted. Do it better.
Nice.
I like that idea. And, just keep that
bonus
going.
Points,
I like this idea.
Bonus points for beakers and lab coats.
Of course. Ooh. Anything is better in a lab coat, as we learned from the Ridiculous Cup of Company.
Then it's science.
Yep. That becomes science. And as you know, we like to do things.
We do like science.
For science. So. And also, if you can work a TurboDog reference in, you win.
Oh, God, yeah. But that's just, again, general life.
Yeah, that's just style points.
I mean, not even related to us. That is
just lifestyle points. Yeah. So what's going on, everybody?
Fringe
salsa.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but my sword's ready to go.
Yeah, it is.
Gonna be picking it up tomorrow.
We got to see a picture of it. The rest of y'all have to wait till Fest starts.
Yeah.
That's a pretty looking sword.
It is. It's. I seriously was like so antsy at work today. I couldn't focus because I was like, sword.
Christmas Eve.
Sword.
It is weird to have you be like, check out this sweet new sword I'm getting, and be like, oh, it looks pretty cool, bro. Except going, for you to swallow.
Yeah.
That's a
see,
weird...
all of that, that's going to be in my esophagus.
Yeah, that's a weird thing that I'm still... I've said this many times. I love your new act, but it fucking grosses me out.
I really am wondering how it's going to go over at Feast.
I think it'll kill.
I think so. Really I do. Think it'll kill, but I kind of secretly hope that in the corner somebody will just be like,
"Oh no!" I think you will certainly get some. Oh, yeah. Oh, and that'll be so satisfying because you'll need that.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, carny tricks need people to not like them, but secretly like them.
Yeah,
but not be okay with overtly. Like
oh no! That you've got to be a freak.
Yeah,
you've got to be
exactly. Yeah, you know,
beyond the pale. For a reason?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, geeking out is a thing that, like, yeah, it needs to have a little bit of the forbidden, and those couple people that will go is exactly what you need to make everybody else feel a little titillated and a little cooler for liking it.
Yep.
And I think that won't be hard to do. I think that's going to be fun.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
So that's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got a contract, and I've got. I'm getting promo shots done tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice. It's going to be... Are you doing those out on site, or are you doing those here? Or?
No, I'm actually doing the Crick across the street.
Oh, nice.
Is where I've
scouted
out a few
spots. Have we had the Crick conversation?
Possibly.
I feel like we might have.
And Amore Photography is doing my shots.
If it's French, it's Amore.
I don't know how to pronounce
Amour.
It, though.
Amour.
It's Soledad Kern.
Oh, my God. I am so fucking
is doing the photos and... specifically because she has shot a lot of pictures for, like, Fondazzi and like, Brett Posick and stuff like that, who have done a lot of fire, and so she knows how to capture fire well.
Yeah, she's excellent. Yeah.
So, and that is, as a photographer, a difficult skill.
For sure. Well, that's like being the photographer at, like, a live sporting event or something. Yeah. You have milliseconds to capture just the right image.
Well, with fire, you've got just the lighting has to be right. You've got to have your aperture and your speed and everything just right. Otherwise, the fire just looks...
Tell it slow and say more about f-stops.
your f-stops need to be set just right. Otherwise, the fire just...
What, you don't like photography?
Otherwise, the fire just blows out the rest of the picture and washes it out.
More of a guac kind of person. Yes, A1 2.0 with Matt, Jenna, and guac.
Yay!
And it's just a bowl of guac. It's better.
And your shutter speed needs to be fast.
I admire your commitment, and I hope you die in a fire.
That's very likely.
That seems like it's too close to home.
Yeah,
somebody at work mentioned they like the Flaming Lips, and I said I'm pretty fond of them myself.
Oh my god!
What the fucking fuck? I'm really glad we're not morning radio, because otherwise that would have to come back every 2 weeks and do prank phone calls with that fucking weird voice. And I'm anyway.
That was a true story, by the way. Somebody was like, I love the Flaming Lips. And I was like, I'm pretty fond of them myself. And everybody was... It was like that 4 or 5 beat pause and then the eruption of laughter as everybody went...
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm getting all ready for Fest. And, God damn, it's going to be good.
And that is coming up...
in 10 days.
Rapidly quick-like.
Yes. By the time you hear this, it will be single digits away or past, depending on how long it takes you to get around to listening to this.
Well, fair. Yeah. It could have been years ago. Hello from the world of yesterday. We don't get tomorrow because we can't do that. I'm just saying.
Well, no, not technically, because if you go by the daylight, or what's that called, the...
Gregorian calendar?
No. The
star date?
No. The
daylight savings?
No. The international dateline.
The Greenwich Mean Time?
No. The dateline. The international dateline. You can actually be talking to yesterday.
Greenwich Mean Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So about that bowl of guac. What's
I'm for it.
What's the bowl of guac worth?
You know what? I've got a couple of avocados at home.
Who books guac? Son of a bitch. By the way, it's late and we're tired.
Yeah.
Oh, my tell. God.
Also, ooh, nothing has been happening but fringe.
Yep.
Yep. So speaking of fringe.
No, wait. I have a thing that's not fringe.
I was just about to do that too. Okay, good.
I want to give a shout out to Captain America.
Mm.
Did you
David Elwin?
Yes.
Friend of the show?
Yeah. Who got his start in the local theater community because of us.
Yeah, no big deal.
That's a bit of a stretch, but sure, why not?
Well,
even he'll admit it.
The one here.
Maybe.
Pulled him in for, like, yep, Human Combat Chess and, like, other stuff like that. Anyway, shout out to him for being listed on the Marvel website for his amazing Captain America cosplay.
That's a great photo, too.
Yeah.
Fantastic photo.
By the way, that's the photographer who's doing my shots tomorrow.
I saw that, too, yeah. And I was like, well, okay, of course it looks good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those of you that have heard us say it before but have not, like, bothered to go online or whatever and see a picture of what David looks like, we could throw this up on our AON page, too.
Or go to the Marvel page.
Or just go to Marvel page. Marvel.com. But, yeah, the dude who just looks exactly like Chris Evans and is dressed exactly like Captain America, that's David.
Yeah.
Fucking spot
fucking
on.
Fucking rad for him. Yeah, it's super
It's cool. An article on, what is it, the 75th anniversary of Captain America?
Yeah. Anniversary.
So.
And it's there are several pictures of several different cosplayers, but I've looked through them, and frankly, David's is the best. So
that's not surprising in the least, because that is really, really good. So, yeah, good on you, David. Or just, I still call him Captain America.
Yeah, I know. Like, right?
I've gotten better at it. Professionally,
I call him David, but when I'm colloquially, I call him
like on Captain this America. On this show. Yeah, he's you'll always be Captain America to me.
Why not? So, speaking of Captain America, Fearless Lab was tonight, and he was not in it. That's as far as I can stretch that metaphor. Right.
Wow. That was so lame.
I'm just trying not to talk about the Fringe
that
Festival.
That was so lame, it deserves a high five.
Hey.
Oh, shots fired. Burn.
That's awful, like a cocktail. So, no, we had a Fearless Lab tonight, which we will eventually tie us back into Fringe. Which, once again, Fearless Lab at Honey has been a delight. I've been booking and directing it for the last couple of months, and I'm having a fucking blast with that because that means I get to watch all of them. And we had another night of some regulars and some new folks that was fucking bonkers. So we had Kyle Decker, who you know, if you've listened to the show for a while, you totally know. And told some great stories about his 3-year-old and his simple grasp of anatomy, which is pretty great. We had a first-time performer who came last month and then came back this month, Phyllis Wright, who knew nothing about her. She just came to the last show, thought it looked like fun, and came and did it. Fucking killed it. Stepped in and did a really amazing, like, kind of Kaufman-esque set where...
Like Andy Kaufman?
Yeah, like half the set was the idea of... I'm fucking with doing a set, which was really neat. We had...
James Fairbairn
told his as
sandwich
promised,
joke.
Sandwich joke, the Shaggy
how
Dog story.
How did that go?
That... It was so good.
Oh, was it? He was so nervous about how it would be received.
It was so funny, dude. Like,
I've heard it, and I thought it was fucking
it's
great.
It's really good.
But he was like, I just don't know.
You're not
know
howling with laughter
like
the whole time. And
it's
Megan,
an emotional
you were there.
Roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Is that even funny?
I got invested in this character of a goddamn sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, losing a relationship.
Falling into depression and alcoholism.
Oh my god, no, but it's just, but he the writing is really good.
Yeah.
And his delivery is excellent. And so it was a fucking delight. Aiden returned and did another stand-up set, and the first line had me nearly spitting my beer out, which I don't think this is too much to give away, but like he walks on stage and goes, you ever notice how glory holes aren't labeled? Like, which side am I on here? And we fucking lose our shit, and then
it's really good
and he just held everybody there for the remainder of a set, and I was like, motherfucker. And that's two in a row now that he's just jumped up and done a set that's good with callbacks, and like it's I'm really impressed with the work he's done.
I'm gonna be thinking about that now.
No, right? Because it was the thing that has never once occurred to me.
Yeah.
It's never
just two
to me.
People sitting there waiting and waiting.
And
it's like, when are they gonna? This is taking forever.
It was so funny. And but that's again, that's just like that's like the first sentence out of his mouth, And then, you know, the rest of the set. And it was delightful. I made sure I told them afterwards, like, you know, awesome. Keep coming back. And we had Tabitha Kerr, who is one of the people in my Fringe show.
Fringe.
Right, which is the slight Fringe tie-in.
I have a Fringe show.
But someone who has never done non-scripted work and never done comedy like this. But I talked about the stuff we do for Fearless enough. She was like, I'll give it a shot. And did about 7 minutes. And, you know, kind of storytelling, stand-up type stuff. Fucking delightful.
Awesome.
Got great laughs. And it was, you know, about the idea of being a sort of pseudo-trial parent for a year because she and her husband had a foreign exchange student from a country I thought she made up, but turns out is real. According to the audience, looking at me like an idiot when I said, I think that's a made-up country. So,
what country?
I don't know. Well, do you remember you were there?
Zach. Oh, shit.
Tajikistan?
Yes!
Is that
maybe?
It?
Maybe? That sounds like
I feel like she
thing.
Said it slightly I different. Mean, that sounds about right.
No, I think it was that.
It was something like
Uzbekistan?
That. No, I think it was the T.
See, it's...
My brain thought it was like TCH or TZH or something like that. That sound. Whether it's spelled that way. But so you're probably right the first time.
Yeah, it's one of the stands.
Yeah, sure. And I was just like...
There's like five of them.
It sounds like an Austin Powers country, you know? Like... Kerplakistan. And I was just like, I think maybe she's making up a fake country to, like, just make the joke funny, but no, that was absolutely true, and I was just an idiot. So, which perfectly played into the theme of her thing, which is, like, Google shit and you'll be smarter. And I was like, I should have Googled that while I was watching your set, so I didn't look like an asshole. But anyway, that was delightful. We had John Uecker, who, once again, is fucking killing it. Oh, there it is. Oh, there you go. Yep, Salsa's now showing me the Google result for that country, and it is real.
For Tajikistan?
Yep. No, John Uecker, again, proves to be a really goddamn good stand-up, and I'm convinced he would make a good Pope now.
He is so good at the just drawing you in.
Yes.
And because he uses a lot of pauses that make you just go, where
which
is this
what we were
going?
Talking about in our way out. I said his pauses were so pregnant they had triplets.
Yeah.
It was astounding. It was
and
so
he adds
fucking good.
Sips so good. Of pop in his pauses.
Yeah, he's because the tiny little cocktail straw, so he'll say... So thinking about, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's so perfect.
Just long enough.
Yeah.
And then maybe think, meh. And then it's a laugh.
It's the George Burns
soda.
Cigar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he just nailed it. And then we rounded out the night this time with Mary Jo Peel, who
nice.
Did a set that was kind of stand-up but more storytelling. About a personal experience that was, I think, both brave to tell.
The fact that Mary Jo Peel does anything associated with our company makes me just giggle like a girl.
Yeah, yeah, I got a chance to sit and talk with her before for like 10 minutes, and it was super fun. But she did a relatively personal story that was, I think, very brave to tell, which is exactly in the wheelhouse of Fearless Lab. Because, like, I feel like there's moments in that story while she's telling it that she was uncomfortable having to think about those times.
It was disgustingly heartfelt.
Yes.
While being hilarious.
But disgustingly, like, because it was so raw.
It was
like,
very raw.
Yeah,
like,
and there's... But at the same time, funny.
It was...
But, like,
amazing.
You really...
fucking Mary
Jo. But you were there with her. And it was unpolished, as it should be, you know? And because I asked her, like, how long you got? She goes, maybe 8. I'm not sure.
That was delightful, like, though. Like, I don't know if that was... I mean, if she really didn't bring what she'd written, or if that was just part of her thing.
I believe it.
But that was, like... That made it more endearing to me.
Yeah.
That she was just going off the book and just doing it.
And that shows you how just inherently funny she is.
Yeah,
and
she's
her, she's got chops. Yeah, well, but also just, you know, she's been doing it for 20 years, however long. And, like, but, yeah, she just got up and told a story that was clearly not like the finished state you'd see on like a comedy special, but was so good. And yeah, just it was a really, really fun show. If you were there, congratulations on seeing an amazing show. Because, and I told Mary before this when we were talking, I was like, I want the lab to be a place where people go, holy shit, I saw that person in a basement 10 years ago, and now I'm seeing them in a show or, you know, at the Guthrie or at the Brave New Workshop or Acme or whatever it might be, you know, or a place where you go and go, holy shit, I saw these people that were really good, but the way the people were so nice in this room makes me feel like I could do this too, so I'm going to try it. Like, those are the two things I want.
Basically, you just need James to be there every night.
Oh my
for
God,
all the nights.
I've said before, I would pay James.
That's pretty much
just
all
to
need
sit
to do.
In any audience of any show
quit
I would do, just so
that
he laughs.
Out loud, because then you might.
He doesn't listen to this shit.
Oh,
although James and I, let's find. We might as well tie it in. James and I had our mandate night last night and went to Fringe shows together.
Yep.
And went to go
he
see.
He told me about some of the
God,
ones that he went
so
to
fun.
See. He
yeah,
was super
so
pleased.
We went to Snow Country together after my show was over. And laughed our fucking asses off to the point where, like, other people in the audience would occasionally kind of look over. And it's like, neither of us have been drinking. We're just really enjoying it that much. But it's 10 o'clock on a fucking Monday night.
Monday night, yeah.
There are 12 people here. We're enjoying the show on the level it deserves to be enjoyed. And we're not afraid to laugh out loud in a small audience because we're performers. And just had a fucking blast. And then got out, and again, for like we do, we talk comedy and theory and stuff for three hours. And just, oh my God, it was so much fun. And then you add Wendy Bowles and Aaron Kennedy and Dawn and everybody else into that. And Kelvin and fantastic. Jim. And just, you know, you rotate through all the cool kids.
And Aaron's ass. You were there, but...
Yeah, by the way, yeah, check out my Facebook if you want to see Aaron Kennedy's hypnotic ass.
Oh, my God. It was hypnotic before, but sure. God damn.
But, yeah. No, but Wendy pointed out how amazing it was because of the horizontal stripes on her dress. So I'll point out, too, that, like, so there's this short clip of a video that ends up with Aaron, like, jumping up and me, like, holding her up in front of me and her kind of, like, gyrating her ass. But right before we do, I'm like, oh, we're going to make this sexy. And I take my shirt off. And we're just on the corner of, like, Washington and Cedar. So all the people that are still seated are just like, the fuck is going on? And I'm like, oh, no, no. Fuck you, Spencer and Stacey. We are doing this. Because if someone's going to jump up and do a stunt on me, I'm going to look like Spencer. So we absolutely have this, like, 10-second clip of this absolute insanity of just me looking like an idiot.
It's posted to Facebook, and I keep scrolling through my Facebook, and then, like, I'll see the start of Matt taking off his shirt, and I'm like, scroll.
But the thing is, if your reflexes weren't so good, you'd get to see Aaron Kennedy's butt, and then
I did watch it for the first time.
No, but that's the thing
I know what it is.
I swear I've seen that video 20 times, because... You're absolutely right. She's wearing a black dress with horizontal white stripes. Mm-hmm. And when she
And when she
gyrates, it really is. It looks like one of those brain teaser.
It does. It looks like a weird like,
because the camera zooms in, so all you see is the stripes.
Yeah,
you know, and so the undulating lines are just like, and I keep watching it over and over, and it's like. The undulating lines are...
So you keep telling yourself is why you're watching.
Well, and masturbating furiously.
Oh my God, so fucking fun. So yeah, we had a blast. We talked to a lot of people and I think annoyed other people at the bar because we were having such a good time.
So par for the course.
Yeah, it was good.
So are we actually transitioning to Fringe now?
Yeah, and we can keep it kind of brief because we talked a lot about Fringe last couple weeks.
Yeah.
But how's your show going?
Oh my God.
Oh Jesus.
Oh my goodness. So, Pandas is doing amazingly well.
As well it should.
And it's not that I'm surprised that it's a good show and that it's got good reception. It's almost like I'm surprised that everybody else is recognizing that.
Sure. You know, because we all knew it was a good show.
Yeah. Like, I've always known this was a 5-star show. It's currently sitting at 4 stars because, you know.
Son of a...
Well, because, you know, there's
one
always...
One asshole gives that 1-star review and it just throws the entire thing off. It's a thing.
But that's just part of Fringe. You got to shrug it off. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, but it is. It's a super quality, awesome, amazing show. And other people are seeing that and being like, hey, this is a super amazing, awesome, quality show. And I'm like, because my cast is amazing, and Duck's story is incredible, and that all deserves all of the awesome responses and sayings. So, we've had, I think, the first night we had 135 people show up, which was more than acceptable.
Sure. That's huge.
And the next night, I think we got a little bit more, maybe 150.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 160. I don't know. It's hard to tell in that space.
It is really hard to tell in that space.
Because going into that theater, it's 245 seats.
And it does not look like
it. Does not look like it at all.
Because really you think of, like, because there's all the four sides of the bleachers, and it looks like it's 25 on each side.
Yeah.
Like, that's the feel you get.
Yep.
And yet you can watch people just keep pouring in.
No seat is more than 25 feet from the stage.
It is really nice for that.
Yeah.
It is really great.
So yeah, but we did have people like all the way back.
Yep.
There were empty chairs, so it's like maybe. But yeah, the second performance, I have to talk about how proud I am of my cast and what an amazing. So you get those oops moments in theater.
where you get all berries.
Oh fuck you, Salsa.
God damn it.
That's pretty funny.
And it's especially in Fringe, where you've only had, like, your one tech rehearsal.
God, yeah.
And if you're an asshole like me and you give your technician 45 different lighting and sound cues...
I think we have at least twice that.
What? Well, actually, no. I'm not sure I believe that.
No, we're in the hundreds.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, I didn't notice, so yep. Well done.
No, it's just, they're all just kind of smooth transitions from thing to thing. Sure. No, we wow. have an alarming number of texts.
Just flopped your lighting dick out
no,
on
no,
the
no,
table.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's part of what's so amazing about it, is yeah. that, like, that's how big of a job that is, and you get mm-hmm. 4 hours.
I think yeah. upstairs my wife actually. Just twitched.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's 3 hours for the technicians to go through everything that they have to, from introducing you to the space, to getting the cues set up, to doing as much of a run as you can, like a cue to cue at least. If you have different feels, like I kept my feels down to about 6. But this, some places will have 18 million more feels. It's like, oof.
All the feels.
All the feels. So anyway, there's one part that's a little tricky, because it's kind of like a cue, then a cue, then a cue, then a cue. Like this, that, and the other thing. And the technician missed the Kessin cue.
Mm.
And went straight into the next part. But then caught herself, but not quite quick enough. So what happened is Smells Like Teen Spirit started to play.
Yeah.
And then it stopped playing. And then there were just lights on the stage. And a bunch of actors standing on lights on the stage.
That's always a fun feeling.
And then they started singing Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Awesome.
Like, without the cue. Like, as a technician's like, oh, shit, which track was it? Ha! Ah! Like, you know, one of those.
Because they number all of them. They have to go back and figure out what number they need. Yeah.
So they started singing. The audience started singing along.
Oh, that's so cool.
It became nice. Sing-along.
That's super cool.
Brilliant. And I'm up in the booth. I'm like, well, just give them some party lights.
Yeah, don't perfect. Even,
you,
absolutely.
You can't even put the sound cue in now.
No. It's better without. Yeah, it's much more powerful without. Yeah. And that's the thing that you kind of go, would it have been better if we'd done it that way from the start? But there's no guarantee everyone's singing
there's
along.
There's no way that you could.
Yeah, oh my God, isn't it great?
Yeah. Next time it'll be crickets.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, but you have that moment mm-hmm. of like, we should have done it this way. And then you go, this is the luckiest thing ever. We should never have had to do this.
No, it's one.
And no, you know, nothing against the techs, because they're also teching a million shows with
no
time.
I think the poor tech had started, this was our Sunday performance. It was like one of the later hours on Sunday, and like she had started her day at like noon.
Yeah. No, it's the,
and doing show to show.
The
to
techs
show to
are
show
fucking amazing. Yeah.
Well, the theaters themselves, just everybody involved in the theaters, are the unsung heroes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, all the volunteers mm-hmm. and all that, because they are cranking out a show every hour and a half, and that's fucking nuts.
So yeah, like I was like, do you need a protein bar? She's like, yes. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's fix this. Like.
Yeah. No liquid in the booth, otherwise you could bring coffee.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
So yeah, no, because she hadn't eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have an opportunity to eat since lunch? No,
probably not.
It's like 8:30.
Yep.
so yeah. But yeah, no, that was just an amazing moment that happened mm-hmm. with that show.
That's super cool. It was fantastic. Those are so fun.
So yeah, and then Disconnect, my other show, is a solid 4-star show, which I think honestly is right where it should be.
Yeah.
I think, you know, 4, maybe 5-ish, but pretty much 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the show itself is at, like 4, 4.5, which is still way more than it has any right to be for the amount of, oh my God, involved with that show.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the way I said it makes it sound like it's all dramatic. No,
no, but I get
what you
together
mean. Yeah. A show with our director, producer, 1,000 miles away from the
and
rest
and choreographer.
Of us. Yeah.
Like, how do you choreograph something from Texas?
Yeah.
Ask Wendy, I guess.
Yeah. Right?
I spent a good chunk of time hanging out with her last night, too. That was a blast.
We didn't have everybody on that stage, or everybody in the same room for all of the show stuff. Until the first show.
Yeah.
Like, we did not get a full rehearsal. We didn't get none of it.
Yeah. That's which is not uncommon for Fringe.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, this is the only place that happens. Everywhere else, if you've done that, you fucked up and you've been lazy or something. At Fringe, that's just kind of how it goes sometimes.
Well, I mean, but yeah, like, it's not like I've rehearsing the dance, because I do a dance in that show. I did a lot of rehearsal with my dance partner, Angela. Who is amazing, and I want to work with her all the time now.
Right.
But the other two, like Cole and Wendy, are the other dancers. Like, it's two pairs. And we didn't get to have a group rehearsal on that until the day of the show. Like, otherwise mm-hmm. we had not rehearsed that right. together at all.
It amazes me how many times I hear the phrase, Fringe opens in a week and I almost have the script done.
Mm. Yeah. That's another thing like, we've been talking
sometimes
about.
Sometimes that stuff is thrown together with well, chewing gum and baling twine.
Yeah, because if you are someone who gets off the waiting list at the last minute...
You know, I did it with Welfare Queen.
Yeah, Kyle did it last year.
Yeah.
He had pitched an idea to Fearless and it was one of our sponsorships, and then his ball didn't get drawn. And so his actors all were kind of like, hey, I've got these options to go do other shows. And he's like, yeah, go for it, man. We didn't get picked. And then Fringe called, I think it was like about convergence times, like July 4th.
Yeah, he had about a month.
Yeah,
a month
and he was just like, I'll take the spot, but now I got to do a totally different show.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, a month to write and rehearse, direct, all that shit, and like, up it goes. And like,
audition.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And like, you know, like that happens to X number of shows every year,
mm-hmm.
where through no fault of your own, you might only find out you have a spot. I mean, there are people that a week before might drop out.
Yep.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, because I got an email about a week or two before the Fringe started that was just like, we're down to the last couple, you know, potential dropouts. So what's going to happen is we've got you guys numbered and we will just call. And if you can say yes during that phone call, it's your spot. Otherwise, you move to the next number on the list. So if you think you can have it, or you can put together something, great. But know that if that call shows up, you've got to be able to say yes or no right then.
Yeah.
And I didn't even get that far into the thing where I got called. I would have had to say no, because there's just nothing I was willing
right.
to do.
But it can be that quick. They're saying, think about it.
Yep, and that's smart. Because, like, you know, and there are things you can do. Like, we put together Stop Talking at the Fringe a few years back as an improv show, because
Improv, you can do that. If you're going to do something scripted.
But given more time, you might do a more fleshed out improv show, much like the Improv Voices this year,
right? Well, there's
a stronger concept and there's something going on.
With Welfare Queen, I had a whole different concept set up for what I was going to do that year, and then when my ball didn't get drawn, so when I came off the wait list 2 weeks before show open, I was like, fuck it, I'm reading from a script on stage.
Yep.
That's all there's time for at that point.
Mm-hmm. It's that or mumble and stumble and not get through a thing that you couldn't possibly memorize.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, as long as the dramatic reading is good enough, then nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's the thing. Like, like Philip's show this year, The Not-So-Silent Planet, getting great reviews.
Philip uses a stand a lot.
Usually, and that's fine.
And it never detracts from what he says.
We use stands in Disconnect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't at all detract from what you're saying.
No, as long as that's a choice, then you're fine. You know, and like, and for
you're not doing a fifth grade report and the red
shaky note cards that are out of order.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, that's the thing. It's like, and I think even for Not So Silent,
1776 was when the Americans signed the Constitution of America,
and George Washington sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah.
But like, even in that show, a couple of people are totally off book as a choice.
Yep.
And, you know, at least one person is on book because it's a choice.
Yep.
And the thing is you can be on script and be just as emotive and interesting as someone that does not have a script in front of them, assuming you know your shit so well that the script is a formality and a prop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's fine. Real quick, I'll say my show going very well, getting great reviews. Thank you to everybody who's local and came out to see it. I appreciate that. That's awesome. If you came and saw Pandas, appreciate that. In fact, if you saw any of the shows Fearless folks are in, or that we've sponsored, or anybody, you know, that you've heard on this podcast before are in, that's fucking great. We've been having fun. My weird moment was not quite as delightful as yours, because it was just... Probably no one realized it was a fuck-up, but near the end of my play, there's a moment where I have to take a dive and I kind of fall back. The third show, as I put my foot down to pivot, I didn't hit the rubber part of my sole on my boot and hit the plastic, which meant I basically just did like a baseball slide for like 8 feet straight towards the audience, which then made another actor have to crawl over my body to finish his scene and kind of go, all right, like, that works.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice at all.
And just like, okay, like, not intentional. And the thing is, like I said, I don't think that matters to the audience, because I didn't go, oops, and then try to, like, redo it or something. We don't rewind the play. But it was just like one of those moments to go,
not like Prince of Persia. Yeah, that's not what happened.
Oh, man, that would have been awesome.
That would have been really cool. That's a fun idea, but a nightmarish thing for tech. But, just one of the things you're like, oh, that happened. You know, because everybody's used to having someone drop a line or, you know, rephrase something in the middle of a show. But, like, when you physically are not in the space you're supposed to be, you have that moment of, like, oh, I hope everybody else doesn't hate me right now. And I had this moment of, like, I'm 8 feet from where I should be. Hopefully they don't mind.
Like, the blocking is all wrong.
Yep. So, that said, we should wrap up this segment.
Yep.
Once again, Fringe Festival is still going. This will be up in time for you to still see the sea shows because this will...
She sells seashells by the seashore.
If you must. The Fringe Festival will run through this Sunday at millions of different venues around the cities, it feels like. So, through the 14th, you can check those out. This will be up on, presumably, Wednesday the 10th. So, if you get a chance, come check out To Kill a Minnesotan with me. Come check out Caucasian Aggressive Pandas, which Jenna's directing, or Disconnect, which Jenna is in. Any number of the other shows we've talked about the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that if you are local and can go do that. And if you do check out a show, whether it's ours or any other, please take the moment afterwards to rate and review. That does matter a lot to everybody involved in these shows. And is a thing that, whether your rating is, you know, 5 stars, 1 star, whatever, the fact that you take the extra second to give someone some credit for what they've done is important, and everybody really needs that.
Very much.
Take the time to do that. It takes you no time at all to do. You can do it on
your
phone.
Validate me.
Yeah, exactly. You can do it on your phone while you're walking to the next show. So yeah. Take the time to do that. Everybody appreciates it. And you know what? The public is welcome to come to Republic, at the end of every night or during the day, just like the rest of the performers. So if you did see an awesome show and you want a chance to talk to someone about it and find out what they were thinking about when they wrote it or directed it or what it was like to be in it, odds are very good you can run into those people at Republic in Northeast. Not Northeast. This is kind of downtown. What do you call that area?
Seven Corners.
Thank you. Which is, you know, right across from the Southern and Town Hall Brew and all that. So, yeah, that's basically just full of Fringe folks. So a lot of people in half makeup or half wardrobe are there all day having beers, and we're all just jerking each other off about how great we are. So, yeah, come say hi if you're local.
Date me.
Yes.
If you're not local and you haven't gotten a chance to see any Fringe show at all, send me a message and we'll talk about video games.
I want to talk about video games.
Send me a message.
Okay.
And we'll talk about video games.
Sweet.
Yeah. Also, Megan's still here.
Yay!
Cool. Hey, Megan, what was your favorite Fringe show?
Yours.
Thanks, Megan. All right, we're going to take a break.
Weird. She said that directly to Jenna.
It was true. It was true.
Son of a bitch.
No, mine's better, asshole.
She hasn't even seen your show. No one likes your show. Except for, like, all the people that like your show.
I love your
show. Everybody has good shows. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Off playing Warcraft.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Megan.
And we're talking about Sims and Warcraft.
But first, we're going to take another drink.
Okay.
Now we are drinking one whose name I love. We are drinking an ugly Czech.
What?
Czech? I'm Slavic.
C-Z-E-C-H.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
I'm fuck you, I'm half Czech.
Yeah.
I'm Czechmate?
But I'm drinking half.
Is that until you find a Czechmate and then you're a whole Czech? Oh, that hurt.
Yeah. Yes, it did. That was why I did it.
Son, I mean, you really kind of earned that.
I did earn that, yes.
Yeah. We are drinking, I am using the fine vintage Gatorade of Riptide Rush. In it.
We all just looked at each other, like, do we tell him he's an asshole?
I already know, it's quite all right. To it, we have added a shot of vodka and half a shot of grenadine.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. I'm excited now.
Ooh, I like the other one better.
My God, I love this one.
This is a little sweet for me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, this one is a bit sweeter.
Yep.
This one, yeah.
All right, Megan seems to agree with you.
Yeah.
Megan, continue your rant about doing The Sims, because we're going to have this conversation now. Because
why
the moment...
does it have to be now?
No, because
also,
what else?
Also, because I'm getting twitchy now.
If not now, when?
That means that we can actually hear you on the
phone. Oh, so I need to get twitchy.
Also, we don't have a better idea of what to talk about.
No, but it's... Yeah, because we just... You said a thing, and you're like, and who would ever do that? Which was immediately followed by Jenna going, I do that!
I
and like,
that.
That's a conversation worth having. So, yeah, explain what you're complaining about.
I do not understand how people can go to work, whatever your work might be, and then come home and play Sims, where your Sim then has to go to work, and then you have to do real-life shit in the game.
Well, you see, my real-life job is a Hula Hoop user,
shit.
Like, I like to relax by going home and pretending to be an accountant. What?
That's fair, I guess.
That's actually perhaps the only cogent argument.
I feel, yeah.
I played Sims, and then my profession was like cat burglar, I think was my profession, or thief.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, no, that's real life or Sims?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't it, Kyle?
No. Yeah. So I can understand.
Like,
that.
There is something to be said for having a different. It's an escape, just like a book, just like anything else.
Oh, so you're good at it in the game.
Oh no, I burn things all the time.
I was gonna say, but did you torture your Sims? Because that's all I ever did.
I have watched. Okay, let me tell you a Sims story. So
this is where Sims gonna die.
Megan just got a really creepy smile.
This is worse than sadder. So a while back, like 10 years ago, I built like a Sims world, and I had my character, and then I had a Jessa character, right?
Okay.
Just, you know, because she wanted a character.
That's what you do.
Somebody get Child Protective Services on speed dial.
Yeah, this is an end with Jen on a list.
Yeah.
So I'm playing the game.
Just
and,
dial all the numbers but the last one.
I leave the game for a little bit, but I didn't pause it.
Oh.
So they just did whatever the fuck
they
wanted to do.
So they just did whatever the fuck they wanted to. And I came back 15 minutes later to Child Protective Services taking Jessa. And I was like.
Hold it. I didn't know that was part of the game.
Nope. Nailed it.
Yeah. They take your kids.
Really?
And, yeah. I cried.
Dark, yo.
Because, like, I was just like, oh my god, I'm the worst parent.
I just left her alone for a minute.
I'm 15 minutes to cook my real life daughter some food. Like, you
I was
know,
being
whatever.
A good parent by not
meanwhile,
by ignoring
your
shitty video game.
Your daughter is in the other room eating food, and you suddenly burst in and, I'm sorry!
That's amazingly stupid.
But you get to have moments like that, too, which are awful and wonderful at the same
That's
time.
That's true. I like taking my Sims toilets away from them. Because they have
an amazing sentence.
And then they, like, pee their pants.
And then they pee their pants, and that delighted me on many levels, so.
See, now, should this not be the same warning level as, like, kids who torture
Yes.
animals
no,
or something
exactly
like that.
I was going with this. Here's
this,
the thing.
This seems like a.
So I'm a future serial
future?
Does that mean all people that play Call of Duty should be on those lists?
Well, anybody who plays Call of Duty is suspect.
Yeah.
Well.
No, but here's the thing. This is something that I've learned to some degree since I've met Megan. Is that like. Because here's the thing. We both like horror movies. We both like video games. You know. But I find that like we approach them differently. Whereas I tend to go, oh, like, isn't this a cool immersive experience? Isn't this an interesting set of mechanics? And you go, how can I fuck up this guy? And like,
and she's going, that's not what it sounds like when a head hits the pavement.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I mean, that's
this all seems very. It's just that little bit too knowledgeable. And she's just like, I bet if I put that baby in the backyard with no gate, eventually it'll fall in this pool.
And then you don't put any ladders so they can't
see?
Get out of the pool.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? Like, I'm just, there's a difference in the way that we had, because we would approach the same game differently.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I mean, what it comes down to for me is that a game is a tool. It's just a tool, and it's whatever you do with the tool which makes it, you know, enjoyable for you or not.
Sure.
Some tools have limitations or whatever else, like they're, but yeah, at the end of the day, like you can use it to whatever ends you want. Like,
that's true.
There's not a right way to play a video game.
But,
well,
would you say, Megan, that you generally enjoy torturing your Sims versus the straightforward playing the game?
I mean, for Sims, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not alone in that.
No, you're not at all. You're not at all. But that is very different from my experience.
I did enjoy torturing my Sims.
Let me ask this then, because this is an interesting thing that comes up when the boy is over and he's playing games, is that his idea of like how to play whatever it is, Grand Theft Auto or whatever, is put in the cheat code that gives you like unlimited everything and just create havoc for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, same way he plays Minecraft. Just go into unlimited whatever mode and build something. But never actually play what to me is like the game because I'm old.
The story.
You know, never allow the game.
I need story.
You know, and that's the thing. He never plays a game usually that allows him to be challenged. He wants to just wreak havoc upon whatever he's doing, and there's a place for that. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like here, like what does everybody? I prefer
I actually
limits.
Do,
both. Do you really?
I have two separate profiles, and one of them I'm just playing the game regular, and one of them I am blinging the shit out of my mansion that I built.
Huh.
That's the same thing. Yeah, I did it like where I was actually like trying to actively like get my sim to like be friends with everyone, like have all these awesome relationships, be really good at their job, and the other one's just like, I'm burning down the whole fucking neighborhood. Yeah. Like, I don't even care what's going on.
So you've got a Jekyll and Hyde thing going.
Sure.
Interesting. Compartmentalizing your personality type.
Well, I mean, that is one of the things you can do with video
games. No, absolutely. Yes. No, but that does seem like a really good idea, honestly, of having, you know, those days where you're like, I'm going to progress through the storyline and I'm going to get the full experience, and the other times where you're just like, I'm going to just fuck some shit up.
Well, it's like playing, like, I will go play Diablo. Because I literally just want to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
That is honestly... Going to play, but like, that serves the plot, right? Because, I mean, if you're just killing... the point is just, like, wipe a level of enemies and get to the next level.
Right.
The idea of just, like, massively destroying everything in front of you is actually playing the game. That's not outside the bounds of what you're supposed to do.
When
right?
I finished the campaign...
I've only played Diablo and Hellfire, so I don't know if it's changed
When
since.
I finished the campaign for Shadow of Mordor...
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what I did. Is I usually when I finish a game, I remove it from my computer to make room for more. But one's still on my computer because every so often I load that up and just run around and fuck shit some orcs up. Because goddamn, that
Borderlands is my game new is favorite fun. One for that. Like I just love because I've played through the entire thing. Mm-hmm.
You've got the story.
Yeah,
but I can also drive a car that has a.
Shoots buzzsaws or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, shoots buzzsaws or, like, catapults burning barrels.
Yeah, people. They have really satisfying vehicles in Borderlands.
Yeah, they do.
They really do.
So,
I don't know, man. I guess it's just me, then. That, like, I play through a game that has, like, a narrative chunk, and then maybe there's a multiplayer or free play chunk, whether it's a separate thing where it's a free play or it just lets you continue in the world once you're done with the narrative. If I'm done with the narrative, I'm done with the game.
See, usually I am that way. Just this one happened to be just so much fun.
Yeah, and I've had actually some good experiences playing both, like, Saints Row 3 or 4, I forget which.
That seems like one specifically designed for
with
Havoc.
Listeners, which is fun. Because then it's like, okay, cool, I've got someone else in. Let's go do this weird thing where, really, you're just destroying shit, but it's you and someone else, and there's a time loop. So there's still a game. Yeah. There's a goal. And I'll do that a little bit, but even that, it's like, after like a half hour of that, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of done, because at the end of the day, when we're done with this, if we play this for a half hour or 5 hours, nothing has changed.
Oh, yeah, it's not sustainable. It's fun for a little while, but it's not sustainable.
Right. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird thing.
I typically need... Well, and that's one of the reasons I don't usually play games on, like, this stupid, you know, difficulty mode and everything like that, because I don't... I'm not necessarily looking for the challenge. I want to be challenged a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Who am I trying to impress? I want to be challenged a little bit. I want to have fun, but I just want to progress down the story.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what happens next. Speaking of video games, I'll bring this up.
Video games?
I mentioned last week or the week before that I downloaded Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're going to give it less of a fat ass.
Oh, how is your experience going with that?
Well, are you less of a fat ass?
I'm actually down 9 pounds.
I was going to say, you look different.
You look like a little less fat.
But
only slightly.
I originally was like, fuck this game, and then I was like, no, if I'm going to say fuck this game, I actually want to
fuck it.
Know that I don't like it as opposed to just dismissing it out of hand.
Just being a curmudgeon.
Exactly. No. So I downloaded it and I played it for a while, and I gotta say, it just...
It's already boring to me. I was the number one biggest Poke fan ever, and it's...
But don't get me wrong, there are absolutely parts of it that I enjoy.
Do you have any nostalgia for it, though? That, I think, is a huge thing.
No, and that's part of the problem, is I've never played a Pokemon game before,
it's
ever.
It's banking mostly off nostalgia.
And that's one of my beefs, is the fact that there is no... Like, the game assumes knowledge.
Yes.
And because I don't have
I've
that knowledge...
There's not a lot of tutorial.
There is. Nothing.
They just kind of assume you'll be so excited that you'll figure it out.
Ingress didn't have good tutorials either.
No, it didn't.
I was about to say, that's not something that you can tie to the nostalgia aspect, though, because even people that know a lot about Pokemon the series or whatever...
The gameplay, there was no tutorials, and that irked me, and so I had to, like... actually communicate with other people to find out.
Gross.
Fuck you. But yeah, at the same time, like, all the different types of Pokemon and stuff like that, I was just like, everybody's going fucking batshit about Eevees, and I'm like, is that good? I don't know, because I just don't, I don't have
a history.
Is that
one of the Pokemons?
Yeah.
Okay.
That having been said, like, there are some aspects of it that I enjoyed. specifically the catching of the Pokemon. Like, that was...
Because we've talked about this before. You're a bit of a diamond in your gameplay style, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that catching, you know, mini game, I guess you could call it, going out and exploring and finding those and go, haha, I found that in the collecting part of it was... I enjoyed that part of it. But when it came to, like, the going to the gyms and the leveling, I found that part intolerable. And because that's basically all there is to the game is finding them and going to the gym, like, after a while, even the finding part was like, I'm kind of done. Whereas I go back to Ingress, and I've slowed down on Ingress as well, but Ingress is still... in Pokemon, all of the little places where you gather... supplies, mm-hmm. The waypoints, those are portals in Ingress. They're the exact same locations. Oh, okay. But whereas in Pokemon, those are just places that you get more supplies. In Ingress, those are actually every single one of those is a point of contention, as opposed to just the gyms. Every single one of those, every single one of those is something to be contested, and so that. Instead of going to a gym and now I'm fighting one person or one Pokemon and win or lost, like in Ingress, it's constantly shifting everywhere around you. Mm-hmm. Like when I first downloaded the game, I opened the map, popped up at my home, and I was in a sea of blue. And then a few days later, there was like a sea of green, and now it's a sea of blue again because the whole world is just kind of around me. Mm-hmm. And I found that aspect of Ingress to be way more interesting.
It's interesting because I've talked before about how...
Like, I wish that there was kind of a catch, the Pokemon catching layer on top of Ingress, because that to me would be an amazing game.
Some kind of upgrader thing.
Exactly.
Like you could do, yeah. But like all the kids I work with were fucking batshit. About mm-hmm. this, you know, right. Everyone is fucking playing. Like, you know, I think I mentioned, like, it was myself and, like, the two other people that were over 30 that just were like, no need, you know? And that's great, you know, have fun. I made a joke about Pokemon to one of my coworkers, and she's like, I haven't played that in, like, 5 days.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's how quick that was over.
Oh, and we knew
that, like, everybody, like, I work with, like, it went from every single person, all they talked about was that, to there's, like, one or two people anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you what, though. I'm on and off again, though. Like, I'll play it for when I'm out. I think I played it, like, the first night I was at Fringe Central.
Sure.
A couple other people that were there, and we were catching...
Fart barfs.
I don't remember what it is. Yeah. It was kind of like a neat little social thing, and I'm like, oh, hey, I've gained a level. Yay, that's neat. And then I haven't touched it, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I might touch it again. It's kind of, for me, it's much more of a pastime... just something to do while you're waiting or hanging out.
It's like when you pull up like Instagram or something. It's like, I'll just pull up Pokemon, see what's going on.
And you know, I have my same game that feels I play Marvel Puzzle Quest, you know, and that's essentially Bejeweled, you know, with a superhero skin on it. And there's a collector's aspect to it, which is part of what keeps me playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's also not gross, but you don't have to spend money to play the game effectively, which is why I like it. And so like I've been playing that for years now. And so, but that's the thing, is just like, that is like the, oh, I'm on my lunch break at work. I'll play that for 20 minutes. Right. I'm going to go take a shit. I'll play that for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just busy or not in the mood, I can ignore it for 3 weeks. And it's just there because a match three game is a match three game is a match three game. And like that one's so, just the one that just fits my lifestyle.
To continue with my review really quick.
Yes.
Storyline. Again, is something that we just talked about. Is me really important in a game for me is a storyline. And... Pokemon doesn't have that.
No.
Whereas Ingress has a really interesting story, you know, even though it's just a premise. And
it sounded better on paper than an execution for Ingress to me. I wish it was more fleshed out.
No, absolutely.
Like, I like the thing. Oh, cool! It's this faction, but I feel like it just didn't pay off.
If you manage to get any of the media files and watch them, mm-hmm. then the story does stay interesting.
And I was playing 3-4 years ago,
exactly,
so it's probably better now.
But every so often a portal will drop this little video that you can watch, and that keeps the storyline progressing. Again, with Pokemon, it was just like, we're catching them, and now we're in dogfighting rings, and we don't know why. and I just... So, I have given it due diligence, and I'm not just saying this out of hand, but I'm gonna take it off.
So this is your Doctor Who, where it's like I've for me like
no,
it's
I
like,
still love Doctor Who.
No, but for me like it was like I gave this a fair shake.
Oh, I see.
So no one can complain. Like yeah, trust me,
if,
I know.
If I say that you know I don't like the game, people are like, you haven't even tried. It's like no, I did. I gave it a full.
That's fair.
And I even liked aspects of it, but I just the whole game in and of itself, I couldn't do it. So I'm gonna be taking it off. I still play Ingress though. We were at Cast Call. Not cast call.
All cast
rehearsal on this weekend, and while I was out at the fest grounds, I managed to capture a couple portals at the fest ground in Ingress. And before I left, your portal is under attack, and somebody like took over that portal. So even within the festival cast, there were people like
only
actively
150 people. Yeah, out there.
Somebody was actively playing that game.
Yep.
You know, and so it does. And that's the other thing is it. Ingress is how old, and people were like Kirsten saw me playing Ingress and she was like, you know, they have a new game now.
Yeah,
you know, and it was just like fuck you. And like we're saying, people are already starting to drop off on Pokemon Go, but Ingress still has a really vibrant
community. You know, water finds its level. I mean, exactly. You know, World of Warcraft has far fewer subscribers than it did at its peak, but there are certain I think that has been around long enough that's got a base number that will exist. And I think Ingress has figured out it's got at least this many.
Absolutely.
So as long as you budget properly for development, you can sustain
and
that.
And then 2 days ago, I downloaded Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes and fucking 4 a.m. went, oh shit, I gotta go to bed.
What are these?
It's a game. and it's right up my fucking alley. It's turn-based combat, similar to like Final Fantasy combat, without all of the bullshit walking around questing. It's just the combat, and you like by winning battles, you gain more material, and you unlock different areas, and you can unlock new characters, and then by putting together different characters into your squad that have different traits. You can change your tactic for how you want to defeat certain enemies and stuff like that. And the first 24 hours were, Jesus Christ, this is fun. And then the next 24 hours were, fuck you, game, in a good way. Mm-hmm. Like, it got really hard really fast because that game relies a lot on microtransactions.
Sure, okay.
So if you're not willing to fork out a lot of money to get better characters and stuff, you got to grind a lot.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But even then, the combat's really fun.
I had a really good conversation at the Mall of America preview party with Nathan from Wise Fools Fest, all that.
Mm-hmm. My Ville partner.
Yeah. But we were talking video games, and he is a huge XCOM fan. And
oh, God, that game's
he's
fun.
He's just balls deep at XCOM 2 right now.
This game is so fucking fun.
And I was like, I haven't played XCOM 2, but I suck at XCOM. And we were talking, like, here's what my
I'm doing really
like.
Well in that game.
Oh, I'm bad. And we were talking about, like, here's my experience. And I was like, have you played FTL? Because Steve got me onto FTL. And that game will ruin your life.
Yeah. You know? God damn, I love that
and
game.
I was like, and then I was like, but the one I'm playing lately, because I've somehow gone back to it, because when I'm paralyzed by choice for games, I go back to something I know, which never lets me play new things. So I'm playing This War of Mine again, which is like, hey, do you want to play a thing with permanent consequences and permadeath, and it's really difficult, and it's unfair and super challenging, and you also want to cry a lot? Like,
see, for that, I play Papers, Please.
Oh, yeah.
Because Papers, Please is not as bad as that, but you still have existential crisis a lot playing that
and
game.
And so I'm on my second run through now since I started replaying it. And so my first one made it through 28 days before my three survivors. And I picked the one that was the cherry group.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, this is a handyman. And someone who is like a good scavenger.
The optimal.
And,
you know,
I was like, and a cook. I was like, this will be a cake. I'll just do one of these to just kind of run through one. We got so fucked by not finding shit and getting raided so often that the game ended. And Nathan's like, he's like, what happened? I'm like, well, everybody got like, they went not from just sad to depressed, but to broken. And where they would just sit and rock on the floor. And they were tired, they were hungry. They, you know, all these things.
Yeah, their spirits were dead.
But you can select them, and they won't obey commands anymore. And he goes, you know, you can send another character to feed them or whatever, right? So try to help them get better. I'm like, yeah, assuming your other two characters aren't also broken. And so I had like 3 days of people just sitting and rocking in a house doing nothing until I eventually was like, I don't know how this is going to end, but no, I quit.
This won't
I quit.
End,
I'm out. Peace him out. Like, this is... Oh, my heart hurts. No. And I'm currently at like day 14 of a run, which started with two people, and one started wounded, which is bad. It's winter, so it's like 28 degrees out, unless I heat. And then we added a third person, and the person that started wounded died. And so I'm back down to two, and we get raided goddamn every night, and I can't find enough shit without someone getting hurt to build defenses or better whatever. And I'm just like...
No, those games are brutal.
It is just, it's just kicking the dachshund uphill. Like, you're never going to get anywhere.
The one on Papers, Please that had me going was the one game where... Like, my entire family was sick and starving, and I had no money and no heat, and just everything was going awful. And I finally caved and accepted a bribe from somebody and had a lot of money, and suddenly I was able to feed and, like, give medicine to my family and give them a better house so they weren't freezing to death. And then, like, 5 days later, I had already forgotten about this whole thing. And somebody came through, and I was like... Ha ha! No, you don't. And I fucking reported him to the proletariat, and the proletariat was like, "Oh, you brought in this guy. You're by the way, you're living in a really nice house. How'd you get that house?" And I was like, "Oh shit!" Nice. And suddenly I'm in prison. And that's how the game ended. And it was like, oh, I forgot all about that thing so long ago. That,
and again, this gets right back to that same idea of like, why do we grind out these horrible, awful existences in video games while we have our own perfectly valid, horrible, awful existence.
I don't want any video game to make me depressed.
Have you not played that?
No, I don't know either of the games you guys played. Well, I've seen the one you're talking about briefly.
You've at least seen a little bit of it. Yeah. I'm going to sit you down and make you play that. No, you have to.
The War Within.
Thomas Was Alone.
No, that game was beautiful.
That game was fucking magic. Yeah, if you haven't played Thomas Was Alone, play it.
What is it? War Within or War Within Us?
War Within, I think.
War Within and Papers, Please, and what is it? Something Cart?
Oh, fuck. I've got Cart Life.
Like, those games...
And Prison Architect is kind of in that same wheelhouse,
too. Is it really?
It is, because that's the one that makes you make really awful decisions.
Yeah, I believe.
I couldn't even do the decisions in Wolf Among Us that were horrible.
By the way, Wolf Among Us is great.
Oh, yeah.
Wolf Among Us is fantastic.
That one's Telltale. Like, every, like, choice I made, I was like, Telltale. Shit.
And see,
shit,
I haven't made
have
it...
You played, shit, have you played any of the Witcher games?
I own Witcher 3. That's the end of that story. That, like, I own Witcher 3.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I was going to say, I also have
the Witcher is one of those games that you saw, like, in the first Witcher, for example, you have to choose between the elves and the dwarves, and neither choice is a good one.
I haven't made her play the Telltale Games Game of Thrones game, which I've said before. That is just nightmare fuel.
We're playing Life is Strange, and that's even, like, I can't
That's
do
tough.
That.
Yeah, we've been jointly playing through that, and it's amazing, but... Oh, just your heart hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Well, I mean, you play games like Fable where it's like, this is the good choice and this is the bad choice.
Mass Effect,
and it's
so, or whatever. Yeah.
It's either, you know, stab the orphan or give him a home. And then you play The Witcher, for example, and it's like...
I thought I was making a good choice.
Yeah, and you save this woman from the angry townspeople. Turns out she was a witch who eats babies.
Yep.
I was like, no! No, I was...
Everything turns to shit. And those are... Let us know. What's your favorite game where shit turns to shit? Because I need more depression in my life, apparently.
Also, if you play Galaxy of Heroes, send me your
deets?
Your information, and I'll ally you.
Nice. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our outro. What? The outro.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Welcome back, I'm still Matt.
And remember, if your shutter speed is not fast...
Bitch. Shut up!
God, I hate you.
God damn it.
I'm Salsa.
You are literally the worst. I'm Jenna.
Oh, God. Megan?
Hey. Welcome. Hey, guys. How about a fast five?
Fast five!
So, what we're going to do is, once again, go back to the well and read a very old fast five.
Is this another 2012 one?
Yes. 7-3 of 2012. From St. Mana the Destroyer. Although I don't even know if she... Nope, this one is just signed Mana, so this is pre-nickname.
Jesus.
Wow.
This is the same time period, or season, though, yes. Just before Fest.
The Fast Five Questions, colon, Con Tiki.
Wait, what?
Con Tiki.
Please tell me this is about the Tiki Bar TV.
I don't know.
Because every answer of mine is going to be Tiki Bar TV. Lala. The answer is Lala.
The answer is always Lala.
Yeah.
Okay, question one. Shaggy or Velma?
Shaggy.
Velma.
Oh, by the way, if you've never heard this before, we get A or B choices, Coke or Pepsi. We have to pick one without a context.
And question you can't two, cheat. You have to pick one.
Yes. Question two. Fred or Daphne?
Daphne.
I think Daphne.
Fred?
Okay. Question three. Vampires or zombies?
Vampires.
Zombies.
Zombies.
Depending on the context, this is a big...
Oh, yeah. This will be a can of worms.
Vampires.
It's a can of gummy worms.
Question four. Hookers.
Or blow?
Yes.
Yes.
Hookers.
Go with hookers.
Yeah. Blow.
Hookers. And finally,
Tango and Cash.
Which would be funny, but no. Tomato or ham?
Tomato.
I have no idea.
What do you want in your grilled cheese sandwich?
Oh, in which case, ham by ham. Far. Yeah. Interesting.
I love
hot ham and cheese is a good sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ham.
Now, I will put tomatoes on my ham. What?
Huh? I'll leave. It's fine. I can see myself out.
No, and Raiderly makes really good grilled cheese sandwiches where she puts tomato in there and basil and almost like makes a caprese grilled cheese. Yeah. And that's really, really good, but I got to go with ham.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the old, old version where people were just learning to do this in two emails, so I got to pull up the other email in another thing so we can know what the fuck we're talking about. Okay, so question one, Shaggy or Velma? I think we all said Velma?
I said Shaggy.
Oh, you said Shaggy, okay. Which character would be the one survivor if Scooby-Doo were a horror film?
Oh.
It would probably be Shaggy.
Yeah.
Are we banking on... they might both be. Are we banking on that because of friendship? Because if we're banking on it because of smarts, Velma.
No, because the smart one doesn't. He's the bumbling idiot who gets lucky.
He's going to get lucky. Yeah.
That's compelling. I'm going to go Velma. I'm going to say that, like, you know, actually knowing your shit means she'd find a way to defeat Scooby.
But the smart one. The smart one always thinks they know best.
Exactly. Yep.
The smart one.
The
smart one spends half the movie going, it's not real because there's no evidence, and then they get fucking stabbed.
Exactly.
That's compelling. Okay.
Whereas Shaggy's going to be paranoid.
No, all right, fine. In the context of a horror movie.
Which is exactly what the question was.
You guys are taking it
in the context of the question.
Whereas I was trying to go in real life, but no, I was wrong. You're right. You have the right context, so that's fair.
If you're actually playing the game correctly, well, then you're right.
Okay, listen, you can eat the fattest part of my ass. Question two: Fred or Daphne? I think we all said Daphne.
I said Fred.
You said Fred. No. I was just about to say that. Fred or Daphne? For which character would Velma divulge a secret, passionate love? Right before that character is dragged off screaming by a zombie hillbilly mutant.
It would totally be Fred.
Daphne.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like Velma and Daphne is the pretty obvious choice there.
Mm-hmm. I always thought it'd be Velma and Shaggy.
Really?
In my mind, that was a thing.
Question three, vampires or zombies? I went zombies.
Vampires.
I went vampires.
Zombies.
Which sci-fi trope is most abused at Convergence? Well, you've been at Convergence now, so.
Oh.
I honestly didn't see a lot of either this year.
Right? Not this
though
year,
though. I saw the Resident Evil crew dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
But the Walking Dead is recent enough that I think that's more recently abused. But if we're going overall vampires.
I honestly don't know that either one has ever annoyed me in its representation there.
I feel like the ones that are more annoying are the vampires.
The vampires are way more
annoying. More than likely, but I'm just saying, I don't think either one has ever been so prevalent that, like, I was like, ugh.
No, but somebody who dresses up as a zombie is just going to be like, ha, look how awesome my costume is. And somebody who dresses up as a vampire is going to be like, look how spooky I am, and I'm never going to drop character.
Blah.
And I love a good character, but putting on a Transylvanian accent
but
is
not a good
character.
Seem like more fun.
Blah.
That.
And at the point, you're just like, dude, Steve, what do you want for dinner? I want blood. No, fuck you. What do you want, McDonald's or what?
No. Question 4, hookers or blow? Do we all go hookers?
I said blow.
Of course you did. Question 4, where is the Kickstarter money really going?
Hookers.
Hookers.
I don't know.
It would have been hookers.
Wait,
I'm wondering if this is actually during the time we had a Kickstarter.
Probably, I'm guessing.
And if I were to be that guy, it would have gone to hookers. I'm not interested in drugs that
much. Not my thing.
I take the Rollins approach that drugs, sex, and office supplies should never be paid for. But if I'm going to compromise on one, it's going to be sex.
Yep.
So I much prefer that over drugs.
Not drugs aren't really my thing, but sex totally is.
Totes my thing. All right.
Boinking.
Yep. Question 5. Tomato or ham?
Grilled cheese sandwich?
Soup?
With which addition does a delicious grilled cheese sandwich become spectacular?
God.
Fucking ham!
Done. Jesus Christ!
Salsa with the 3-pointer from downtown.
Except
4
I had
years
it backwards.
Later.
Except I had it backwards because she used the word worthy of derision, and so it'd
you
be tomato.
Of shit. I stand by my ham choice because
ham and cheese
is
so good.
I make that at work frequently. Mm. Yeah. Oh, so good. Awesome. And then, oh my God, this is how old this is because this is pre-con. And then the sign off here is see you there. Let me know if anyone wants to trade shirts. Because remember that being a thing way back in the day? When we first started going to con, there was a thing where someone would walk up and be like, hey, want to trade shirts? And you'd be like, what? And like,
I think vaguely some, I
no, no,
remember that.
Someone started with a shirt.
This was probably before
it
my
was a game,
time.
And they would like walk around and they had to find someone to trade shirts with them, and you trade shirts. So the first year I was there, not buying a pass or anything, I had an artist pass through the Vilten show. Someone's like, "Hey, can we trade shirts?" I'm like, "What do you mean? Like, can we trade shirts?" I'm like for a show or for now or for a bit? What are we
when
doing?
When do I get my shirt?
And they're like,
back?
"No, we're trading shirts." I was like, "Really?" And they're like, "Yeah, I just got to trade my shirt to someone." And I was wearing one of the shirts I fucking loved at the time. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah. Here you go. Took my shirt off. Gave it to this guy. Guy gave me a shirt. Put the shirt on. And I'm like, now what? And he goes, that's it. We're done. And he walks away. And then
and
that...
you never
and
saw
never
your
saw
shirt
no,
again.
And I saw that guy wearing my shirt. I'm like, hey, can we trade back? He goes, no. And I was like, okay. And then, like, but like people... And eventually, like, all these people like, yeah, I'm wearing this weird fucking shirt. I didn't know what it was about. Because people kept doing that whole weekend.
Huh.
And it was weird, and I was like, odd.
Like, I feel like if I knew that was coming and could wear a shirt I didn't care about as much.
Sure, and I think that's probably what most people did, is that they like, oh, I like this shirt. And I was like, I'm wearing my sweet NoFX work shirt, but whatever. Like,
it's a shirt.
My concept of object permanence is not great. So
what was the shirt you got in return?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
You know, it might be like an Aquatine Hunger Force.
Because I feel like now that you knew the game, you could probably find a pretty sweet shirt.
Probably could, yeah, that's true. So, retroactively, years ago?
That was before Same I started doing con.
Yeah. Thanks for sending those in. If you would like to send us a Fast Five, you can, theoretically now, by sending it to matt@aonpodcast.com. Send us your Fast Five with the A or B Coke or Pepsi type choices in one email, and a follow-up email with the context so all of us can play along with no one knowing the information at the end. That said, before we get out of here, quick plugs for anything important coming up.
Fringe,
Pandas, Kill Minnesotan,
Disconnect,
Renaissance, Fest. Renaissance Festival starts soon.
Podcasts,
Horror Story Hot Dog,
Monkeys, I don't.
Also Monkeys.
Oh, ooh,
Space Monkey, get up, get coffee.
Yeah.
Space Bet. Monkey, go to job.
Yeah, that sounds right.
True stuff.
I was getting there.
Oh.
Because you know what gets the Space Monkey up?
Right.
Is it gin and gummy bears?
No. Oddly enough, that's what puts the Space Monkey to bed.
Oh.
And that's important. But what does get a Space Monkey up is the True Stone Coffee.
Yes.
Because it is dope.
Because they even deliver in space.
Well, apparently they deliver in style. And even if the delivery is a little mismatched, they are dope about it.
I got a delivery just today.
Did you guys get the message from, God, was it Troy?
No.
He got he is a...
I recall something. I don't remember what it was, though.
He is one of our listeners who is like,
yes,
I'll try this two-stone thing. And gets, I forget, it's like a pound every however often or something, or half pound however
like
often.
Like a pound a month or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, of ground, yeah. he knows, yeah. Of ground coffee.
And his shipment showed up, and it was like 2 pounds whole bean. And he was like, they sent me way too much stuff. So he sent them an email, and it's like, I think this is someone else's order, or you just accidentally gave me too much stuff. You know, do you want to like send me a return label or a label to send it to?
Well, he was more concerned with the person who was expecting 2 pounds and got
his. He was being totally cool about it. And he's like, yeah, so you want me to do that? And they go, oh, keep it. And sent him his regular order.
Yep.
And also sent the additional. Oh, nice.
That's how cool TrueStone is.
Yep.
So, if you've not heard us mention it enough, and you know what? You couldn't possibly have heard that. TrueStone Coffee. Local coffee roasters make the best goddamn coffee in the world. If you ordered Conversions, you probably had a chance to sample it. If you missed out on your chance to sample it, that's your bad.
Now, I will say, Eric Thompson. For Fringe, we've been carting around the cold brew.
I watched him pound a cold brew. Right. And it was like one of those gross eating competitions.
Yeah. Look, I can't. That I prefer to enjoy and savor.
No, but I was just like, oh, he needs that.
Yeah,
because like it was just like when a snake unhinges its jaw for caffeine.
Yeah. See, when Matt,
it's been moving us through French.
Well, sure. When Matt showed up today, he handed me the most recent batch for me, and that worked out perfectly because we had just run out of the stuff that we
and I told Jenna in the car. I'm like, Fringe, I'm keeping this one, and she's like, salsa's out. And I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
I got a little left. Salsa can have this one. I'm not happy about it, but fine.
Yeah. No, we've been getting a lot of cold brew lately.
And they're fucking delightful. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
Not enough. Like,
but given that, well, there's never enough. Yeah. But given the day, you have different needs. But again, yeah, TrueStone is making amazing coffee. Both beans that you can roast to make hot coffee or cold press. You can get in bottles. You have these delivered to your door. You don't even have to go.
And if you don't have a grinder, they will send you ground.
They will. Yeah. Obviously, like any coffee snob will tell you, get a grinder, or just better yet, like I have, get a fucking coffee machine that just grinds the beans for you. That's way easier. Yeah, I didn't realize that mattered until I had one, and I was like, this is so much better. Yeah, it's so much easier.
I don't know if I mentioned my.
It does sound like a plane is taking off in your ass in my house when I turn it on. That's the weird part. It's super fucking loud, and I was like, sorry, upstairs neighbors. Then I go, no, I'm not. You guys are moving furniture at 3 a.m. Eat a dick.
I don't remember if I told this on the podcast, but when my parents were in town the other week, I told them, but by the way, what do you think of the coffee? And then, like, the day before they left, we went to a diner. And, and they were like, the coffee's not very good.
It is that fucking good. And again, I'm not saying people are, you know, beating down the door to offer us sponsorships, but you could offer us a sponsorship that would be a thing that I didn't like or Salsa didn't like.
And
or
we would say no.
And we would say no. I fucking love this. All of us do. Oh, which is why we do it. Yeah. And so, yeah, we do talk about it enthusiastically and wholeheartedly because we actually do like it. So, go to TrueStone Coffee, hit their website, find out the coffee that's right for you, whether that's cold press or beans, ground or not, and use the promo code...
Apropos.
Or apropos, if you're, you know, a fan of the thing.
An adult.
You know, whatever.
I'm so not an adult.
That's true.
Whoever accused me of being an adult is
obviously not me.
Yeah. But with that promo code...
Apropos.
There you go. You will get 10% off your order. And hey, who doesn't like a little discount? So yeah, show them some love and support for supporting us and so many other cool things around town. My theory is you'll be hearing about TrueStone Coffee for years to come as they seem to be getting more and more involved in cool projects around town because they're
everywhere and I love it.
Really, it's really rad. And yeah, we'll talk about them again. And hell, I'm sure we'll have Scott on again at some point. And who else from that place? Who knows? We may record from there at some point. That'd be fun. It's kind of
I really want to do that.
We'll get around to it. We're just all busy folk. But yeah, so again, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Megan, for joining us. And on that note, I think we can get out of here. Yes.
Yeah.
We good? You ever feel good about this? I feel pretty good. This is fun. This is a good old school type show.
Yeah.
All right. So. Take care of yourselves, and have a good week. Eat the fucking cake.
Ladies and gentlemen, my beer and I would like to remind you to support the incomparable Brandon Muffuckin' Patton, whom you can find at BrandonPatton.com. He's been kind enough to donate all the music you've heard so far tonight. You may also find him on tour with MC Frontalot, whom you can find at Frontalot.com. Lastly, if you'd like to support the show directly, please leave us a review or rating on iTunes, and you can even donate money through PayPal on our website, AONPodcast.com.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.
Microphone.